Lyricist Fran Landsman, who wrote the words for the jazz classic Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most, died Saturday at the age of 83. She wrote for decades and performed until the week of her death, but she was never as well known as some of her songs, which also include Ballad of the Sad Young Men and Small Day Tomorrow. Landsman was part of a circle of beat writers and jazz musicians when she started writing songs in the early 50s. She married Jay Landsman in 1950, and they opened the famed Crystal Palace nightclub in St. Louis, where Woody Allen, Lenny Bruce, and Barbara Streisand made early appearances. They later moved to London. For a period, the couple became known as much for their open marriage and bohemian lifestyle as for their professional accomplishments. Jay Landsman died earlier this year. Terry Gross interviewed Fran Landsman in 1988. Before we hear that conversation, here's one of the definitive recordings of Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most, sung by Betty Carter. The music is by Tommy Wolfe.
Spring is here, has got me feeling like a horse that never left the pole.
I wrote that song because I was enamored of T.S. Eliot's poem, which begins, April is the cruelest month, mixing memory with desire, breeding lilacs out of the deadland. And I was thinking to myself, if a hipster were going to say that, he would say, spring can really hang you up the most, man. And I told that to this piano player, Tommy Wolfe, and he said, that would make a good song. Why don't you try to write it? And I said, I've never written a song. He said, oh, go ahead and try. So I brought this lyric into him, and he put that beautiful, beautiful music to it.
So this was the very first song you wrote.
Yeah.
You collaborated on it with Tom Wolfe, who you wrote a lot of songs with. How did you first start to collaborate with him?
Well, we had this bar, and he was the piano player. And I used to sit on the piano bench with him and say, you know, go over old songs and things. And then when I came up with that idea for a song, Spring Could Really Hang You Up the Most, and he said he'd put a tune to it. Well, after that, we just did more and more. I'd do two or three a week.
We had this bar. You owned the bar?
Yes, yes.
I see. So you'd sit and sing with him?
Well, I didn't sing in those days. Tommy put me off the idea of singing because he was so bitchy about girl singers. He was always complaining about how they couldn't keep time and they were singing out of tune. And I didn't want people talking like that about me. So therefore, I didn't want to sing. But the musicians say to me now, they say, but we like the way you sing because we know you're a writer. We just don't like singers who can't sing.
Many of the lyrics that you've written, especially the ones from the 1950s, have real hipster lyrics. I'm thinking especially of some of the songs in The Nervous Set, which was a musical that you co-wrote with Tom Wolfe, and your husband Jay Landsman wrote the book for it.
Let's just have fun, let's dig the happenings. This world is weird and full of crazy things. Shakespeare was a hack, so we read Kerouac. Baby, let's just have fun.
All the hipster lyrics that you wrote, I always wanted to know if you spoke hip at the time, if you used any of the lingo that you used in the lyrics.
It's funny. Actually, Tommy Wolfe introduced me to that language, and I was just fascinated about, I mean, he was the first person I ever heard refer to a man as a cool stud. And I thought, what a perfect description of this particular guy. But alas, I found out that actually cool just meant nice, and he called all guys studs. And I decided that since so few men were studs, and of the few who were studs, few of them were cool, it was a pity that he didn't realize he had so aptly described this person.
Do you feel a connection to lyricists like Ira Gershwin, Larry Hart, Noel Coward, Cole Porter?
Gosh, I hope so. You know, when we did the Nervous set on Broadway, there was a line in a song, "No matter how they rave now, Larry Hart is in his grave now." And whoever takes Manhattan as a square. And Richard Rodgers came to see the show, and he said, "You know, people have been calling me up all week. They're so furious about that." He said, "But I knew you kids didn't mean to knock Larry." And I said, "Are you kidding? He was my hero. I wasn't knocking him. I was just saying that perhaps that song has been overdone now."
Songwriting has, like many other fields, always been a very male world, especially until recently. The beat circle that you hung out with, the writers, musicians, painters, though, they were mostly men, too.
And they weren't interested in women for doing anything but emptying the ashtrays. As a matter of fact, the other night, Allen Ginsberg came up to me after the gig and said that he really liked a poem of mine. And it's the first time, I just felt that he was never even aware that I did anything. So I was really thrilled.
One of the things I really like about your songs is your sense of wordplay and your sense of humor.
Some of my songs are funny. As a matter of fact, somebody told me recently that I'm known as the Queen of Sad. And I don't think it's fair because I like to think that all of my songs are both sad and funny.
One of the songs that probably comes to mind when people call you the Queen of Sad is The Ballad of the Sad Young Men.
Yes, exactly.
All the sad young men seek a certain smile, someone they can hold for a
story behind writing that song.
A friend of ours, we were in St. Louis, and we had a bunch of pals who used to hang out in P.J. Clark's, and we were talking long distance to them, and I heard that one of them had gotten engaged to a 16-year-old girl, and I thought, that poor girl, she doesn't stand a chance, because those guys really hang out in those bars, and I think I wrote the verse about tired little girl does the best she can trying to be gay for a sad young man. I think that was the beginning of the song, and then the rest of it grew up around it. But the weird thing is that people think now that it's a song about gay people.
That's right, about gay men.
Because when I wrote that song, it simply meant lively, trying to cheer him up, not trying to be bisexual.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a new song you can read for us?
This is the last one. This is a sad, funny song. It's called Goodbye to All That. Goodbye days of jazz and joking. Goodbye booze and food that's fried. Goodbye glamour, so long smoking. Hello thoughts of suicide. Farewell days of fun and flirting. Goodbye sex, so glad we came. Now there's always something hurting. Hello specs and walking frame. So long, lovely finger lickers. Goodbye, life that late we led. Hello, cramps and dodgy tickers. Soon we'll be the grateful dead. Goodbye, Lenny. Goodbye, Ronnie. Goodbye, pretty girls and boys. Goodbye, Shirley. Goodbye, Johnny. Hello, geriatric joys.
Now, you read that at a gathering of old friends to celebrate the work of John Cleland Holmes, who's had some work republished. Now, at this party, I think, was Allen Ginsberg, David Amram, Larry Rivers.
All of them.
Herbert Hunke. What kind of reaction did you get to this poem?
They all liked it so much. I was so nervous because I kept thinking, what is this going to be, cabaret or a funeral? And also the fact that my stuff sort of rhymes the way it does, and all those boys are free verses. I wasn't sure. They really did like it.
Lyricist Fran Landsman speaking with Terry Gross in 1988. Landsman died Saturday at the age of 83.